You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
I thought that I might have the Spirit's direction to take up this topic, and so I wrote an essay on the minister as hireling. I'm going to be reading that essay, and I hope that you use it in order to take stock of your own soul rather than pointing fingers at others. Okay, let's begin. The minister as hireling, Luke 16, verse 3b. I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I feel compelled to emphasize that the Spirit-called leader is not to be a hired hand. Traditionally, the word misthotas has been translated hireling, as in the King James Version. One thing that disqualifies a leader from being genuine is if they are in ministry to make money. That is the opposite of the biblical norm. Peter wrote, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." I said, the opposite of the biblical norm. Maybe that is too strong. Perhaps a better way to describe this would be to say that it is adverse to godly motivations. Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and wealth," Luke 16, verse 13a. His opposition thought that he was crazy. Luke 16, verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. We may not say it aloud, but those who justify the pursuit of riches harbor this attitude in their hearts. We may give what our king said, lip service, but our anxieties and ambitions produce lifestyles that reveal our values. However, every believer is to be free from the love of money. I think the word translated free from the love of money could better be translated as not a money lover. Here are verses in the New Testament which speak to the love of money. 1 Timothy 3, verse 3. Not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Hebrews 13, verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." The irony is that even if people succeed in gaining a lot of money, and for many that's the very definition of success, they find that they have never accumulated enough. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income." There were court prophets, apostate priests, and even private priests who leveraged their religious status to make a secure living. The worst example of this in the Bible is found in Judges chapters 17 and 18. A miserable man, Micah the Ephraimite, hired a Levite to watch over a pitiful, idolatrous shrine. This Levite was like a lucky charm to Micah. To be provided for, the Levite, who should have been a source of sanctification, facilitated idolatry. He dispensed blessings freely. Perhaps his blessing actually released some sort of spiritual power. He left Micah's service to go to work for the Danites. Judges 18, 19b to 20. Come with us and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man, or to be priest to a tribe and a family in Israel? The priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the household idols and the graven image and went among the people. God have mercy. This reminds me of clergy treating ministry as a mere career. First, they try to grow their ministry in one place. Then a better, more lucrative, more successful-looking opportunity comes up, and they go to the more advantageous position. These types of things are ludicrous abominations. Let's determine to only serve the living God and to be loyal to those we serve, even if the ministry post is not prestigious or prosperous. The love of money produces bondage to the world system. It is a crucial issue. Jesus said that normal commerce would be characteristic of the culture at the end of this age. Luke 17, verses 28 through 30. It was the same as happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, they were building, but on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just the same on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. The final crisis of the ages will center around whether one is willing to sell out to the beast in order to buy or sell. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Certainly, leaders are not to be characterized by their love for money. Paul warns us that greed or covetousness is idolatry. You may find that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. We do not truly serve the God who provides while using him or religious work to pursue an ultimately perilous appearance of security. Look at this exhortation, Hebrews 13, verses 5 through 7. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. I said this before, I'll say it again. Our characters are to be free from the love of money. The average believer, addressed in Hebrews, was to have a bold reliance upon their Father. Also, they were to imitate their leaders. One thing these leaders exemplified was their confidence in God's provision. Their faith freed their character from anxieties about their livelihood. Leader, do you want those you lead to be blessed? Do you want to release blessing to them? You need to experience God's provision before you can spiritually release God's provision. Paul experienced God's provision, and he released God's provision to those who provided for him. Philippians 4, verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in the Messiah Jesus. Provided for him? Yes. Paul taught that both the itinerant apostle and the local leader should receive financial support. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 9 through 11. For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing," and, "The laborer is worthy of his wages." Many years ago, I saw several shipwrecks of men who were caught in a religious system that encouraged them to be good husbands, work full-time secular jobs, and do full-time ministry. Something had to give, and it did. My perspective is that several were lost to their true callings. By the way, when Israel did not tithe, the priests compromised. They became hirelings. Compromise. Leaders who love lucre, they are known in heaven as those who compromise their calling. They compromise the leading of the Spirit. They compromise through telling people what they want to hear. They shy away from confronting established worldly norms that are entrenched in the lives of those they are called to establish in the faith. In fact, through the love of money, these leaders compromise the reason one has a worship service, parachurch organization, media, humanitarian, or itinerant ministry. Leaders, it is not about the money. Leaders should be the type of people who engender confidence in those who follow. Listen to this: "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need." Acts 4, verses 34 and 35. These men were known to be such servants to the degree that they were trusted by those who followed them. They were not lovers of money. They had resisted this temptation. They had left all to follow Jesus. Brothers and sisters, everyone is prone to this temptation. We need the leading of the Holy Spirit and the sanctification that proceeds from His presence and Word to remain free. Let's rely upon Jesus, who understands this temptation, and live for Him. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's pray for ourselves. God, continually deliver me from the love of money. And let's pray for those who lead us. Father, cause their lives to be free from the love of money, that they may serve you with a clear conscience, without compromise, according to the love of God. Amen.
Love and War is written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the books God's True Love and For the Sake of the Fathers. To purchase copies of David's books, please go to loveofgodproject.org. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, from the album Combustion, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. For more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, God's True Love, or For the Sake of the Fathers, visit us on restorationfellowshipny.com, loveofgodproject.org, book.forthesakeofthefathers.com, or you can follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, Love and War DH, and For the Sake of the Fathers. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean.